your host, Vincent Jensen. How is everyone doing? Let's get to it with today's topic, Great Firewall. First, a short message from our sponsors. Our sponsors today are PodBot. Let's face it, buddy, your content is not the best thing since sliced bread. I mean, all things considered, you make pretty good content. But not a whole lot of people want to take the time out of their day to concentrate on reading your latest political rant or narcissistic personal story. Don't take this the wrong way. Your content is good, but it's not good like a fancy meal in an expensive restaurant. Your content is good like a cheeseburger and soda at a drive-thru. Yes, we consume it. Sometimes there is nothing better around and sometimes we're just bored. Whatever the case may be, we all consume that greasy drive-thru cheeseburger every once in a while because it's fast and convenient. So make your content fast and convenient as well. Help serve your audience with an easy-to-consume audio version of your content. Visit podbot.ai today and convert your written content into a full-length, natural-sounding cheeseburger. I mean natural podcast. Convert your written content into an easy-to-consume podcast. Okay, let's get to it. Wired China has encountered unprecedented levels of resistance from the United States and its allies. We have discovered that the technology that China needs to build its own version of the U.S. military-industrial complex threatens to undermine the institutions that govern the nation. Xia Hong is in charge of public relations for a year, the old company called China Info Highway Space. Chinese regulations that regulate local businesses favor China in the United States, even though it has its own regulations for them. We have a new look at Chinese company whose bright, illuminated, open planning arrangements favor the private sector over the public sector, with an emphasis on high-tech companies and the military-industrial complex, rather than on government. As part of the Great Firewall, China began building a censorship system in 2003, provided mainly by U.S. companies, including Cisco Systems. The project was completed in 2006 and was carried out using civilian, manned and monitored machines from the Chinese Ministry of Communications and Information Technology. This includes monitoring websites and emails at home and searching for politically sensitive phrases or those calling for protests. Internet regulations in China, as well as the Great Firewall, have serious implications for foreign internet companies that want to enter the Chinese market, or for companies that simply try to access foreign websites or internet services. Foreign companies should develop strategies to address the operational problems arising from China's idiosyncratic internet landscape, especially when operating in industries directly affected by the Great Firewall. The Great Firewall is the legal and technological system that collectively regulates the country's internet. Chinese internet users, who some call the Great Firewall, have created a system of restrictions on their access to the internet and freedom of expression. Through the government's efforts to restrict internet access and freedom of the internet, as China continues to expand the reach of its cyber regime at home, it is worth asking what impact this policy might have abroad. The recent uproar over Google's Project Dragonfly has highlighted the global impact of China's censorship and internet surveillance policies, and their impact on global technology companies. This has raised serious concerns about the future of global technology companies that want to invest in China. But the Dragonfly incident is just one example of the global implications of China's censorship, internet, and surveillance policies. Censorship of the Great Firewall at home also directs public opinion, affecting how information is perceived that contradicts the official line. Censorship of the Chinese internet has intensified in recent years, increasing the number of foreign and domestic websites blocked on the Chinese internet. Information flows into China are censored or tailored to promote nationalist sentiment, and the information flows back into China. Chinese children, for example, are taught in students' textbooks that they are the offspring of the West that emerged from the 19th century, not China's own history. For years, the Chinese government has prevented Mandarin Chinese speakers from speaking in places like elsewhere. But Clubhouse, a new social media app that emerged faster than censors could block it, has become a place where Chinese can speak freely online, both for speakers in China and for people from outside the mainland. In the Clubhouse audio chat room, people in mainland China meet with everyone else interested in sharing their thoughts. Topics range from banal issues and unexpected hemorrhoids to politically charged issues such as human rights abuses, corruption, and the state of the Chinese economy. As the complexity and reach of the numerous censorship tools that make up China's Great Firewall grow, China's networks will increasingly depend on the internet, which they cross daily. A number of examples examined in this paper, including the monitoring of communications via TOM and Skype, have had a significant impact. After a review of China's comprehensive censorship system, it is clear that it is a powerful and evolving force to be reckoned with, as new technologies and information battlegrounds emerge and nations' digital borders begin to blur. Understanding the role of the Internet and its role in human rights and democracy becomes increasingly important. Griffiths also offers a topical conversation about human rights on the Internet and whether the Internet can be regulated in a way that serves the common good. The book is worth reading for anyone who wants to know more about the emerging social credit system and the concept of cyber sovereignty in which each nation controls its own Internet. The book's main premise is that China's repression of the Internet aims to prevent organized challenges to the government's calls for action, not simply to suppress free speech or even criticism of the government. The greatest fear seems to be a sense of solidarity that the Internet can convey, and it is not only about censorship, but also about the threat of censorship itself. This is all for today, friends. My name is Vincent and this was episode 73 of Backquote. See you next time.